I guess I would have to begin back in the 90s. How we try to deal with the law here in Canada. We brought in our legal argument in British Columbia 41 times in front of different judges who all stonewalled the law. We tried The Hague back in 91. 92, we went to the UN to bring out the law because Canada didn't want to address their own laws. So we have tried all the legal avenues, three times to the Queen, once to the EEC, the European Economic Community, to address on human rights. Yet we failed in every turn we made. So the only thing we had left was a standoff, to force the Canadian government to deal with its own laws. In British Columbia there, the only two ways that the government can have jurisdiction there is one through treaty or through purchase. Neither happened. And Canada, all its pride itself, be number one in the world as far as human rights. Yet we've only been waiting 130 years or better for people to do the honorable thing. So our only way we can force the Canadian government was a standoff. Since the rancher claimed not to be his land, yet this very land here was set aside back in 1832 in what is called the Black Dome Intertribal Agreement between the five northern Shuswap bands. So we brought all this out. We brought all this to an RCMP officer who was a native, and he'd done the research. We don't have his on the tape we have, but it was on the first tape. I have a tape here of the RCMP and all the dirty work that was ongoing in 95. Because that's their own tape, see, they made that inside the command center. There was a lot of falsified documents which went right to Department of National Defense. Herb Gray, the Deputy Prime Minister, was party to this, along with Doug Shands, who was the Premier, who was the Attorney General at that time, who became a Premier. Also involved in this, along with some RCMP officers at the command center. We have the different people in the provincial government were also involved in it. So the rancher claimed not to be his land, yet they never had a survey done on that area. The one halfway through the trial, they finally try to legalize something after the fact, halfway through my trial. The trial itself was 13 months. It was 8 months of trial with the jury, and there was also 5 months of voir dire, a trial within a trial, which we had to go through. But before then, we had well, what the rancher said when the call came out to my way, I was down, I was helping, usually help out at the Sundance grounds as one of the hunters that go up there and hunt for the people and piss, keep the fires going, cut wood, pack water, for the people at the Sunrise Grounds. So we argue with her answer. We finally got an agreement to sit down to try to settle the issue. We had about a month to set this up, and at that time it was the 21st of August when we were supposed to sit down with the rancher's lawyer, the rancher, RCMP, Department of Indian Affairs, and the people in the Tribal Council of Northern Shuswaps. But prior to having that meeting, the RCMP snuck in about 5 o'clock in the morning so that way that meeting would not go ahead. They snuck in, they were caught coming in, a shot was fired, and that started the war. At that time I was out from the Sundance Grounds, I was at Morley. I was there with our spiritual advisor, John Stevens, who is the medicine man in that area. Because of that meeting that was going to take place on the 21st. So that way I'd be more prepared when that meeting went ahead. But before then, RCMP snuck in, got caught, the shot was fired. From there, the escalation began. But we held our ground. Because it was very spiritual for us. Like the job was given me, everything is prophesied, you know, in the Indian world, that these certain events are going to happen. And 2 years prior to that, I had a runner from a little ways out of this town here. I came out to look for the man in the mountains. I'm that man. Because you had some things you had to tell me. And when he unfolded that map about these events that's going to happen, Stony Point was also on that. These two things is going to happen. Stony Point and Gustafson Lake. And I was told that we had to hold our ground and show no fear. This is what was done. All over 77,000 rounds fired at us. We was under the gun for most of a month. But we should be held pretty tight. We had a lot of young people there. We had only 4 elders. We had just a few warriors. It's sad to see that when the call for help goes out, just a few in numbers would lay their life on the line, do something for his people. I done this without any hesitation. I just went right up because I feel it is my duty to my people. We had to endure quite a bit. The APC is about the one you have the video here that saw ramming with that truck after it was blown up by a landmine. And Canada's been number one in the world as far as banning the use of landmines, yet was used on our people. Used on the native people. There was concussion grenades there laid out by the army. And they said the army was not used. But yet, One of the army boys blew his hand off. A couple of fingers and the thumb broke his wrist and his arm. I now call him Lefty because that's what he had to use to wipe himself. I'm sorry to make fun of that, but our lives were on the line also. And that's what happens when people go against spiritual people that stand for the right cause. There were 77,000 rounds fired. There were some machine guns that was brought out, 50 calibers. With all the modern weaponry that the RCMP had, and all them rounds, yet nobody got hurt. Just one white girl who was shot in the arm. But that girl that was shot in the arm was also a relative of the Rockefellers. A friend of mine, he got 3.5 years for his part in that. He done a year. And then he was out on parole. I guess he was partying up after getting out of jail, out of the pen. And he broke a curfew, I guess, and he was afraid that the people who run that house was going to report him. So he took off for the States. This is when the 43rd time that our legal argument went into the courts, it was in Portland, Oregon. We used international remedies in that case. Also, the video that we had, the RCMP officers in the command center, we also used that as part of our documented evidence. And the judge looked at that law that we stood on at Gustafson Lake, and we were right in law. So sovereignty is the issue, Canada's the problem. And we've been fighting for a long time. I myself been long before these young people were born, I've been fighting. I guess this is part of the story that I bring out. I believe the video itself would bring out a lot more, especially the wrongdoing of the Canadian government. You have the politicians. This is what we're up against when we go up against the government. We're up against the politicians. We're up against the judicial. We're up against the enforcement arm. We're also up against the media, who report the lies for the RCMP or the Canadian government. And last of all, the fifth arm being the lawyers themselves, who don't bring out the real legal argument. The only one that really brought out the legal argument, they destroyed. They destroyed one of the best lawyers they ever had in Canada for the Native people, and that was Bruce Clark. He was good enough to advise the Canadian government on the Constitution of Canada, but not good enough to defend the Native people. So they destroyed him for bringing out the rule of law. The rule of law that we stood on. If we were wrong in the law, then they should allow us to go ahead to Great Britain to lay out our case and make fools of ourselves, because then we'd be wrong in the law. But we were right. This is the reason why they had to stop us from advancing our legal argument at the very highest levels. This is why they tried to kill me about 6 times. Just because I work for the people.